This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And even with regards to the man, he can't be in the state of janabah when sitting in the masjid. The least he has to do is to go and make wudu. The least he has to do, for example, one is doing i'tikaf in the masjid and he has a wet dream. Can he remain in the masjid sitting there? It is only permissible for him to remain sitting there in the masjid إذا تَوَضَّعَ, if he goes and makes wudu. عطاء بن يسار رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, رأيت رجال من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه يجلسون في المسجد وهم مجنبون. I saw some of the companions, they used to sit in the masjid while they were in the state of janaba. إذا تَوَضَّعُوا وضوء الصلاة, only when they done the wudu they would normally do for the salat. واضح؟ So with regards to the guy, as soon as he gets in, he has to go what? And then come back again. Last issue that we're going to discuss, inshallah ta'ala, before we move on to the last line of poetry. Is it a condition that, that he's fasting in order for his i'tikaf to be correct? It's not a condition. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, وَلَا اَعْتِكَافَ إِلَّا بِصَوْمٍ. There's no i'tikaf except if that person is fasting. And that was narrated by Abu Dawood. إِلَّا أَنَّ الرَّاجِحَ وَخْفَ أَخِرِهِ. This was what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned. طيب, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Ibn Umar and other than them, they both said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمُعْتَكِفِ صِيَامٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. There is no psalm upon the mu'takif except if he makes the wajib on himself. I go Aisha, go Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, clashing with one another. What do we do? Between the statements of the companions? Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jameel. We have another hadith. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Inni nadartu an a'takifa laylatan fi masjid al-haram. He said, I made a vow in Jahiliyyah to do i'tikaf for a night in masjid al-haram. So he's asking, Ya Rasulullah, shall I carry that out? Even though this was a vow that I made in Jahiliyyah. He said, Fa'ofi bi nadrik. Carry out your nadr. Carry out, do it. And in the end of the hadith it states, فَاَعْتَكَفَ لَيْلَةً. He ended up doing i'tikaf for a night. If it was wrong, and if it was a condition, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wouldn't have delayed the clarification, right? If it was something wrong, he would have told him straight away, وَلَا يَجُوزُ تَأْخِيرُ الْبَيَانَ وَقْتِ الْحَاجَةِ. And it's not permissible for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi to delay clarification, something that one really needs at its time. نعم. نعم. طيب. Then the مؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وحفظه, he says, يبطله الوطء كذا الخروج من مسجده دون ضرورة تعين. He begins to now speak about some of the invalidators of one's i'tikaf. First thing that he mentions is يبطله الوطء, if one has sexual intercourse, that is now going to what? Invalidate his i'tikaf. And this is an ijma' amongst scholars. أجمع العلماء على أن الوطء في الفرج عمدا يفسد الاعتكاف. This individual intentionally now goes and he has sexual intercourse with the opposite gender. This is now going to invalidate. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Don't do mubashara while you guys are in i'tikaf. طيب, what did I mention the other day? What does mubashara mean? جميل. Excellent. Al-mubashara, okay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ أو تَبَاشُرُ, This is when the two skins come in contact with one another. And the highest type of tabashur or mubashir, whatever you want to call it, okay, is have sexual intercourse. And we mentioned it comes of different levels when the skin of the guy and the skin of the woman, they come in contact with one another. This is why they call it iltiqa'ul basharatain, when the two skins meet. Tamam? And this has maybe three different scenarios. This is very important, guys. We can split into three categories. When the two skins, they come in contact with one another. First one, surah is al-mubasharatu bi shahwatin wa yatarattabu ala dhalika inzalun hadhihi muharrama wa mufsida. When the two skin come in contact with one another and it's accompanied with what? Arousement, shahwa. And this now also causes inzal, one to ejaculate. Not only is that haram, and it also invalidates his i'tikaf. The second surah is al-mubashara bi-shahwa. He ends up coming in contact with the opposite gender, and it's also with shahwa. It's accompanied with shahwa. But after kissing, after hugging, after, you know, fondling, nothing came out. What's the hukum of that? It is haram, but is the i'tikaf invalidated? The answer is no. It's totally dependent on what? Ejaculation. Unless he ends up having sexual intercourse. With sexual intercourse, whether it comes out, whether it doesn't, still invalidates. Then as-surah al-thalitha. Two skins come in contact with one another, لكن بغير شهوة, but without any shahwa. It is not accompanied with shahwa. Okay? For example now, I'm taking something from my wife, because I can't, she's brought me some food. Or she's combing my hair for me. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, إن كان رسولullah صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل علي رأسه وهو في المسجد فأرجله. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, while he was doing i'tikaf, he would bring his head out. He's still in the masjid, he would bring his head out and I would comb it for him. Here we know that the two skins are coming in contact with one another. But is this now with shahwa? The answer is no. كان لا يدخل البيت إلا لحاجة إذا كان معتكفا. Point is, skin has come in contact with one another. Or for example, mom, she brings me some food and I kiss her forehead. This is now your skin coming in contact with the opposite gender. واضح? This is perfectly fine. Also, we take from the hadith that part of somebody's body can come out even if there is no need for it. واضح? And is the i'tikaf still correct? Is that clear, guys? You guys got the three different scenarios, right? It comes in very, very handy. People ask these questions all the time. Because they look at the ayah, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Don't do mubashara while you are in the i'tikaf. And we mentioned that mubashir is of different types. And the highest type of mubashir is sexual intercourse. Even kissing, fondling, touching, all of that is mubashir. That's when the two skins are coming in contact with one another. You'll be surprised the amount of questions people ask. واضح? Likewise, if an individual now, he touches himself and it comes out. بسبب اللمس كذا استمناء كذا إنزال بالمباشرة. All of these cases, this is not going to invalidate. And then the next issue that is discussed is كذا الخروج من مسجده دون ضرورة تعين. Leaving the masjid. And again, guys, you'll be surprised the amount of people who do i'tikaf and they're going out for walks. Some of them are playing football in the cage next door. And they just think their i'tikaf is perfectly fine and normal. It's very, very important. واضح? That we understand these three different types of khuruj when leaving the masjid and the hukum, the ruling that he has. First, you have three hadith with regards to leaving the masjid. And you find that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she discussed and spoke about this matter. Whether it was what she witnessed from the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, or about herself. What she gathered from the way the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, i'tikaf, and then she applied on herself. The first hadith that you have is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل علي رأسه وهو في المسجد فأرجله. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم sometimes used to bring out his head while he was still in the masjid, and I would comb his hair. وكان لا يدخل البيت إلا لحاجة إذا كان معتكفا. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم never used to enter into the house except if there was a need when he was doing i'tikaf. Pay attention to the end of the hadith. وَكَانَ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْبَيْتَ إِلَّا لِحَاجَةٍ إِذَا كَانَ مُعْتَكِفًا. He never used to enter into except if there was a need when he was doing i'tikaf. There's another narration that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, السُنَّةُ عَلَى الْمُعْتَكِفِ أَنْ لَا يَعُودَ مَرِيضًا. The sunnah upon the one who's doing i'tikaf that he doesn't visit the one who's sick. أَنْ لَا يَعُودَ مَرِيضًا وَلَا يَشْهَدَ جَنَازَةً. He also doesn't attend the funeral prayer. وَلَا يَخْرُجَ إِلَّا لِمَا لَبُدَّ مِنْهِ. And he only, وَلَا يَخْرُجَ لِحَاجَةٍ إِلَّا لِمَا لَبُدَّ مِنْهِ. He doesn't leave the masjid due to the need or whatever he's trying to go and do, except if it's a must. Except if it's a must. واضح ولا يمس امرأة ولا يباشرها ولا يخرج لحاجة إلا لما لابد منه. Doesn't touch a woman. She doesn't مباشر. We already discussed that. He doesn't leave when he needs something except if it's a must. So this is Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها saying that. طيب, also a side benefit. If a companion says as-sunnah, the sunnah is X, Y, and Z, does this have now a ruling of the act being mawquf or marfu'? The poet Hafid al-Hakim in his Lu'lu' al-Maknun, it's a poem that has lines of poetry related to mustalah al-hadith. Okay, the science of hadith. He says, وَأَلْحِقَنْ يَنْمِيهِ أَوْ يَبْلُغُ بِهِ كَذَا السُنَّةُ كذا السنة وألحقا ينميه أو يبلغ به كذا السنة نعم كذا من السنة أطلق انتبه كذا أمرنا أو نهينا إن صدر من الصحابي كذا كنا نقر. تمام. If a companion says من السنة, this is from the sunnah, then he takes the hukum of what? That act being مرفوع. It's like the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying it. So here the poet is saying وألحقا ينميه أو يبلغ به كذا من السنة أطلق انتبه. Add this to what is مرفوع. So now the fact that she's saying this is from the sunnah, it takes the same ruling as Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying something. Also there's another third narration. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said, إن كنت لا أدخل البيت إلا لحاجة. I never used to enter into except if there was a need. وفيه مريض. And there used to be somebody sick sometimes over there. فما أسأل عنه إلا وأنا مارة. I would ask about him while I'm moving, while I'm walking. So you have these three narrations which speak about, leaving the masjid. واضح guys? Leaving the masjid. So the fact that she said, I only used to ask, about the stick while I was moving, it teaches us something. So inshallah ta'ala, I'll quickly now mention what the fuqaha with regards to exiting the masjid, they mention, or the three different types of cases. The first case is خروج ينافي الاعتكاف, a type of leaving the masjid that totally negates the concept of i'tikaf. Like a guy goes, I'm going to go to my business, I'm going to go and buy and sell stuff, and what's the point of you doing i'tikaf then? You doing i'tikaf, you have to stay in the masjid. So that totally goes against the concept of i'tikaf. Going out, buying and selling, and obviously had a la yajuz. It's not permissible. And this is now going to invalidate your i'tikaf. The second case is خُرُوجٌ لِأَمْنِ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ. Going out for something that is important, لَهُ مِنْهُ بُدٌّ. Something important like visiting the sick. And also what? Maybe preparing a funeral. These are very important issues. He can only leave if he made a condition before entering into i'tikaf. Like for example, he made the intention, I'm going to do i'tikaf, but if there is, a janaz, I'm going to go to it. If he made the intention before, it's fine. Well, that guys, if he made the intention, it is fine. Maybe he didn't make the intention, that is now going to what? Invalidate his i'tikaf. That's also the madhab of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And then you have the third type. Leaving for something that there is a darura, it's a necessity, it's a very dire need. Okay? And this is permissible for him even if he doesn't make the condition. Even if he doesn't make the condition. Okay? And this has now three different scenarios. For example now, food and drink, toilet. You need to go to the toilet, right? Can anybody hold it in for 10 days? Nobody can. Can you starve yourself? We know now we have two, maybe you want to call it, evils clashing with one another. You holding it in, and that causing you now an illness. And you leaving the masjid, which you shouldn't be doing, aslan. Which one's more important? You risking your health or staying in the masjid and being hard-headed saying, oh, we need to take it from the zahir, you have to stick in the masjid. La. Sometimes you don't find toilets inside a particular masjid in some places. So you have to go outside to answer the call of nature. Wadih? Tayyib, write down these scenarios. Guys, I remember I took this directly from Sheikh Amir Bahjat. Wallahi, it's the best type of tafsil that I've seen. The best way that has been elaborated. I've seen and read so many, but something contemporary that a person can have on the back of his mind with regards to when a person goes out, eating, drinking, whatever it might be. This is the best or one of the best things that I've seen with regards to this particular issue. Straight from Masjid al-Nabawi. So the Surah al-Ula. And this is now with regards to food and drink. Okay? With regards to going to the toilet, هذا متفق عليه. He goes and comes back straight away. Now this is with regards to food and drink. Surah al-Ula. A man is doing i'tikaf in the masjid. There is no food and no drink. It is ممنوع. منعًا باتًا. It is totally prohibited by the masjid. They've even got signs in the front. Nobody bring in any food and drink. You want to do i'tikaf, it's up to you, you can do so. But it's ممنوع. وَبَدَى i'tikaf. So he started doing i'tikaf. High time of Maghrib kicks in. Is this guy gonna live on what? Dates and water? Even water he can't bring in. He has to go outside and go get that water. This individual, it is what? And if this guy doesn't eat, he's gonna die. This guy's gonna die. And if he doesn't, there's gonna be a problem. In that case, he's allowed to leave. فَإِنُّ يَجُوزُ لَهُ الْخُرُوجُ. So the first case is what? No food are allowed to be brought in, even tumur. He's not even allowed to bring in what? Dates. Not even water. Masjid's choice, the masjid made that decision. He has to respect that. How would you do? He is allowed to leave because the guy's life is on the line. Taib, the second surah, the second case. One's doing i'tikaf and the only thing that they bring in is what? Like Masjid al-Nabawi. Dates, water, some yogurt. For iftar, that's what they have. And you're not allowed to take what? Burgers, chips, shawarma into Masjid al-Nabawi. Giving you guys a practical example because Many people that do i'tikaf Masjid Nabawi. And in some masajid, that's the bare minimum that you can bring in. Wadih? Some people can live on that. Wallahi, there's people in Masjid Nabawi, that's what they live on. A piece of bread, huh? Some dry bread that gets brought into the masjid, some yogurt, huh? Tamur, dates, and also what? Water. Some people can live on that. If that guy can live on that, we say to him, akhi, iktafi bihada. Suffice yourself with it. Some people say, akhi, wallahi, I can't. My body is used to what? Chicken and rice. Lamb and rice. That has to enter into his interior. Otherwise, this guy is not going to die, but he's going to have issues. He's going to feel drained out, he's going to feel dizzy, and so on and so forth. Wadih? This individual, he claims that his body is not used to it. He is allowed to go outside, huh? Have his food and come straight back without violating the permission that he has to leave. He goes to the mat'am, sits there, as soon as he finishes, he makes his way back. Wadih, guys? What do we understand from what Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, إِن كُنْتُ لَأَدْخُلُ الْبَيْتُ وَفِيهِ مَرِيضٌ. I used to sometimes enter into the house لِحَاجَةٍ وَفِيهِ مَرِيضٌ. That somebody that's sick. فَمَا أَسْأَلُ عَنُهُ إِلَّا وَأَنَا مَارَى. I would only ask about him while I'm leaving, while I'm walking. Some scholars actually even say that if he stops, his i'tikaf breaks. If that guy stops, huh? He goes into his house, he does whatever he needs to do, you know, he has a shower and whatnot, fine. You can stand there. But if he's now walking, and then he stops to do whatever else, his i'tikaf breaks. But anyways, some scholars are very tough when it comes to the i'tikaf, where, you know, as wajib, like the nether one. But with the issue of, you know, the sunnah type i'tikaf, they're a bit more easygoing. Point of the matter is, we understand from that wa ana marun, this little word here, that one cannot take more than what is okay for him. وَالضَّرُورَاتُ تُقَدِّرُ بِقَدْرِهَا. This is now a darura, right? This is a necessity for him to leave. And you only take that which is going to cover your need. Are you with me, guys? You only take that which is going to cover your need. So in that case, it's permissible for him to go eat rice and chicken and lamb, whatever he needs to fill his stomach with, and he comes straight back. The third scenario. There's a man who's doing i'tikaf, and they bring him all the food that he needs. Huh? Rice, chicken, lahm. Give him the drink. They give him Pepsi. They give him Fanta. Are you with me, guys? Does this guy really, really need anything else from outside? Unless you're like me, who's a fussy eater. Can't eat vegetables. I'm a meatarian. Huh? So this guy says to one of his friends, Akhi, you know what? You know, every Ramadan, I'm used to eating baklava and it's called baklava. Baklava, right? Not the, what's the other one called? Baliklava. Baliklava, yeah. Baklava. Oh, I'm used to going, you know, every other day I go to Heavenly Desserts, the one on, huh? On London Road in Leicester. Let's go, huh? Fudge Poppy's better. Sorry?
Fudge Poppy.
He said Fudge Poppy is better, the one on Evington. And his point of the matter is, he said, let's go have a dessert and come back. Huh? هَذَا لَا يَجُوز. This is not permissible. Because there isn't that which is going to cover his necessity outside the house. Sorry, outside the masjid. Are you with me, guys? Do you understand the three different cases with regards to food? And knowing these three cases will make a lot of things clear for you. Wadih? Also, the Hanabila, they say some of the things that, you know, invalidate one's fast is ar-riddatu, if somebody apostates, and that's obviously quite clear. Also, if a person becomes intoxicated, tamam, if one, for whatever reason, he decides he went out to buy food and drink, and he ended up, you know, drinking whatever, he had some weed or he drank some alcohol, wants to go back and do i'tikaf, his i'tikaf has now become invalidated. Wadih? And also they say قَطْعُ نِيَّةِ الْاِعْتِكَافِ حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَنَوَى قَطْعَهُ فَإِنَّهُ it becomes invalidated. One, if he makes the intention to stop his i'tikaf. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ أي لا يُقْبَلُ أي عمل إلا بنية. Someone makes the intention of breaking his i'tikaf, even if he doesn't leave the masjid, his i'tikaf becomes invalidated. واضح؟ Likewise with regards to fasting. Somebody now makes the firm decision in his chest with his intention that he's stopping his fast. He even goes all the way to the chicken shop. Are you with me, guys? Goes to the chicken shop and then all of a sudden, it's closed, man. Because the chicken shop owner is sleeping all the way till 2 p.m. in the afternoon because he's been praying Qiyam al-Layl throughout the whole night. This guy has what? He's broken it. Even if he didn't put anything inside his material. So inshallah ta'ala, alhamdulillah bi ni'mati tatimmu as-salihat. We finished these 25 lines of poetry from the Manzuma of Al-Fadhfari, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, which is a poem that consists of 963 lines of poetry. The overwhelming majority, like 870 or so lines, are by the Shaykh called Anwar Al-Fadhfari, but the rest are by a teacher in the Masjid al-Nabawi. He added 70 or so lines of poetry. His name is Amir Bahjat. Some of you guys may have seen him online. He completed it up to 963 and he's still working on doing, adding more and more onto it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a lesson that we benefit from and that we act from. Also want to thank my teachers who benefited me, who taught me. And if it wasn't for Allah Azza wa Jal firstly, and then secondly, I wouldn't have been able to convey this to you guys. And something that Imam Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala teaches us when he goes through his qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, he says, وَهَذِهِ قَوَاعِدٌ نَظَمْتُهَا مِنْ كُتْبِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ قَدْ حَصَّلْتُهَا. When he put all of these qawa'id together, right in the beginning he mentions these principles that I have turned into a poetry. وَهَذِهِ قَوَاعِدٌ مِنْ كُتْبِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ قَدْ حَصَّلْتُهَا. I took it from the books of the people of knowledge. He ascribed it back to the people of knowledge. He could have easily just, you know, hidden that and kept it to himself. Tamam? And then he says, جَزَاهُمُ الْمَوْلَى عَظِيمَ الْأَجْرِ وَالْعَفْوَ مَعَ غُفْرَانِهِ وَالْبِرِّ. And then he makes dua for all those he benefited from by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them forgiveness and afu and so on and so forth. And even the other poet, he mentions to us, إِذَا فَادَكَ إِنسَانٌ بِفَائِدَةٍ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ فَلَازِمْ شُكْرَهُ أَبَدًا. If anybody ever benefits you with a benefit, always be a thankful individual to him. فَلَازِمْ شُكْرَهُ أَبَدًا. فَلَازِمْ شُكْرَهُ أَبَدًا وَقُلْ فُلَانٌ جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ صَالِحَةً. Say, so and so, he benefited me, and may Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, bless him with righteousness. قُلْ فُلَانٌ جَزَاهُمْ اللَّهُ صَالِحَةً أَفَادَنِيهَا وَأَلْقِي الْكِبَرَ وَالْحَسَدَ. And recognize that so and so gave you that benefit, and also get rid of the kibir, the arrogance that one may have. And that's very, very important. So I just want to thank my teachers, like Sheikh Salih al-Sindi, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, also Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili. Well, I benefited a lot from a lot of these qawa'id that I give to you guys, these examples. And Sheikh Salih al-Sindi quite a lot as well. Also Sheikh Abdul Salam al-Shwayr, who is one of the prominent fuqaha that you're going to find today in Saudi Arabia. He looks very young, but mashallah, tabarakallah, he's a mountain when it comes to fiqh. And also my Sheikh in Yemen, Abdullah ibn Lamh, who benefited quite a lot when it comes to qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. And also Sheikh Abdullah al-Zahim from his books, Sheikh Amir al-Bahjat. So, جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم. Inshallah ta'ala, until further notice, I'll let you guys know which books we're going to go through. And maybe we'll continue after Eid. Inshallah ta'ala, going through chapters of Tahara and Salah. So we can, you know, start from the beginning and just go up like that. And really build ourselves with a strong foundation and then gradually move up. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وجزاكم الله خيرا إن شاء الله. وياك وياك. وياك أخي.